Welcome to Season 6 of the Excel Still More podcast. I am your host, Chris Emerson, and I am here to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, and I'm glad you've joined. Our program continues to be sponsored by Cunningham Financial Group. John is a good friend, and he's helped me and my family in everything from stock and mutual fund investing to annuities, life insurance, and retirement planning. I certainly commend him to you. If you have needs in any of those areas, you can reach him at 205-326-7364. Thank you again for your ongoing encouragement and support. Let's get started. Hey, welcome and thanks for listening in. Today, I want to talk to you about communication and how powerful it is as a key to unlock a lot of doors and solve a great many problems. We will be tying it particularly to relationships like dating and engagement and marriage. Though I think the answer to some of the questions I'll be asking you about communication today can apply to any relationship that you have. I'll go ahead and open telling you a bit about where this is coming from. I'm looking at a sheet of paper right now that says, "Let's communicate" at the top and has about a half a dozen questions on the topic. I first saw this sheet of paper in very similar form in the spring of 1997. Summer and I were engaged to get married, a couple of teenagers about to give it a go, and the preacher where we worshiped, Steve Fontenot, sat down and took us through a series of lessons, but this was the very first one. I have since used this small packet of material in, countless studies with people before marriage. And in fact, I have one of those studies starting tonight and another one later in the week. So I'd pulled it back out and was going through it. And every single time I do that, print this packet out and staple it together, it brings back memories of that year and our wedding and all those really cool things. But it also reminds me of some little tweaks and adjustments that I need to go home like today and make. And so for you, if you are young and in love or thinking about marriage or just entering into it, I think these things can be crucial for you. But for those of us who've been doing this a little while, something tells me a little revisit to communication and how it works could have some immediate benefit for you. And as I said, far beyond even this incredible relationship called marriage. Before we jump in on the questions, let me take a couple of minutes and say some things about those who are dating or engaged or moving towards marriage. I used to say in the early years that above and beyond everything else, the most important decision you can make when choosing a spouse is to marry a Christian. The idea is simple. If you care about someone and you're attracted to them and you want to be with them and you love them, but you love God more, the authority of Jesus is the central driving force for your life and your marriage, then you can work through anything and grow in everything. Now, I still contend that it's hugely important. It's sort of tied for first place now for me. But what I started to notice is people make a couple of mistakes when they feature that as like the only important thing. Firstly, I came to learn very quickly that not everyone describes the word Christian the same way. So if that's the only green light you're looking for and you don't define it well, you may end up with something like this. "Well, my boyfriend was baptized, so he's a Christian and our marriage is going to be fine." Never mind any number of other red flags that may show that that is not exactly the thing that redefined his life. "My girlfriend goes to this particular church where the truth is taught, and she was raised there, obeyed the gospel there, and so she's a Christian, and I have absolutely nothing to worry about." Now, let me say, I'm not demeaning any of those things. It is wonderful if you worship at a faithful church and if you have obeyed the gospel in baptism. But Christianity is a lot more than that, isn't it? It's an entire process of increasingly surrendering to Jesus as the author of your life. And so I just kind of started to notice, and I've been doing this preaching thing a while, that people would look for a very simple definition of Christian that kind of checked that big box, and then they just jumped right in as if nothing else mattered. And they either knew already, or they soon found out that true Christianity that cultivates a great relationship is a lot more than that. A second thing that can happen if you're just kind of like, look, as long as they're a Christian, then that's all that really matters. And let's say they are truly a committed servant of Christ, is that you may overlook that there are a lot of other things that really matter too. For a while, I was almost tempted to say that marrying a Christian was a very, very close number two to one thing that may even be more important. If you know me, you know I push a button a little far to try to get people to think. I still would put Christianity at the top, but right beside it would be another word, compatibility. I mean, two people can love each other and love the Lord, but if they can't even have a peaceful conversation, if they don't know how to communicate their needs, if they're not willing to listen to each other, if they can't handle even the tiniest of problems without running in the opposite direction, if they've been dating 3 months and they've mastered the cold shoulder, if they just don't seem to be on the same page on practically anything or know how to find their way onto the same page, they just may not be very compatible. I'm not saying this across the board, but I'm telling you that growing up with friends as fellow teenagers and now observing a great many people growing through that age into their 20s and into marriage, those who were not compatible in terms of the way they think and talk and share and problem solve very rarely figure that out later. It can be done. Today's instruction on communication can help, but you have an incredible amount of work to do. Because as anyone over the age of, I don't know, maybe 30 knows, as you grow into adulthood, the problems don't get simpler, they don't get easier, they broaden out, they have deeper implications, problems get more complex, they involve children. And if you and I just aren't compatible enough to have honest conversations, open conversations, hear each other, work our way through common ground, and be kind always, then our lack of compatibility multiplied times life problems will give Satan easier opportunities to drive us apart. So listen, to recap, marrying a Christian is extremely important. Just be sure you're defining that word in a biblical way. But please understand that indicators related to compatibility need to be assessed, because that's going to be crucial and even more crucial as time passes. So hopefully that brings about a question for you. Chris, how do we test compatibility? How do we improve the way that we relate to each other? And if you're not in a relationship yet, what should I be looking for in the very early stages? To all of that, I would answer with one word: communication. Communication is key. It has always been the central strength of healthy relationships. It is fundamental to every other thing you try to build. If I can't share with you and you receive that and you share and me receive and we use understanding and our tools in a constructive way, what can we learn? What else can we even work on? Remember the Tower of Babel? They were building that thing. All God had to do was confuse their language. And the first time a guy got hungry and asked a guy for a sandwich and he gave him a brick, they started fighting and they never stopped. And this is why in our pre-marriage material and often in marriage counseling material, we begin everything with a few simple questions under the topic, let's communicate. We'll go through those quickly, but let me add one other thing. When I do marriage counseling, we usually start with quality time. We can find out what's going on with your marriage. We can find out spaces where it can improve by identifying your quality time. But even then, what's more fundamental than communication? What good is going on a walk if you're not willing to talk to each other? What good is a nice dinner out? You spend $100 and everything he brings up, she's not listening to. And everything she brings up, he immediately repudiates. Time has no quality without communication. So let me walk you through a few things that I'll be addressing here in just a little while with a young couple. This material is not fancy, but if you'd like to have it, just reach out to me in some way, email or Facebook message or whatever, and I'll get it to you. But I start by asking them, what is communication? We know the word, tell me what it means. And what I'm really looking for is this idea of sharing information with others. I've got something in my brain that matters to me. I have to use the tools at my disposal to try to take that thing and get it into her brain. Once it gets to her brain, I want it to be similar to how it looks to me. I'm expecting her to let that idea come her direction, for her to process it, and then send something back to me that shows that she gets it and she wants to either add to it or modify it. Sounds pretty simple, right? Just moving information one way to the other without it being corrupted. And how do we go about doing that? We have two tools at our disposal. We have verbal communication and we have nonverbal. So I like to ask them to define what those are. And of course, verbal is the usage of words and sound. Mr. Fontenot used to tell us that words are vehicles upon which thoughts travel. So you choose your fleet of vehicles and you send them that direction. You decide how big they are and how fast they're going and what color they are. And all of those things matter. And I'm talking about the words that you choose, the tone of voice that you use, the volume that you select. All of it is a part of verbally communicating an idea from one person to another. The second thing, of course, is nonverbal. We would just call that body language. Things like the orientation of your body towards the person who is speaking to you, whether you're holding a cell phone in your hand or your body is oriented towards the television while they sit on the couch next to you, versus someone who turns towards them, maybe holds their hand while you're talking. Everything from where your eyes are looking to facial expressions, these are all visible tells that communicate, to use our word, to the other person whether, if you're the one talking, you're being authentic in what you're saying, or if you're the one listening, whether or not you are, in fact, listening to what is being said. We kind of have a fun way of demonstrating this in the sessions. I tell the gentleman, I want you to tell your girlfriend, "I'm sorry, but I want you to not mean it." He usually doesn't think about the nonverbal, but it certainly comes through with the way that he says it. He says it in a dismissive way or sarcastic tone or a little bit of anger. It's pretty clear that he said, "I'm sorry, but he didn't mean it." Then I usually ask him to do that again, but do it with body language. He'll immediately remove his hand from hers if he was holding it. He'll turn his body away. He can get his shoulders oriented in a certain way that when he says it, the words mean nothing. What this demonstrates is that, yeah, words are important. You just said two great words, "I'm sorry." But if that was, in fact, what was in your mind, a genuine regret, it did not get to her that way. We then kind of recover by asking her sometimes, or usually I'll just stick with him. I'll say, "Okay, I want you to use both verbal and nonverbal skills, and I want you to tell her that you're sorry and mean it." And usually he does awesomely at that. He turns towards her, takes hold of her hands, leans in, looks into her eyes, uses a term of endearment, and says something like, "Babe, I'm sorry." And it's actually kind of cool to watch. She usually blushes a little bit, like she went ahead and forgave him of something, even though this is just an exercise. So all of that is about taking us beyond this idea that communication is just saying something. We often say the right things, but we either don't mean it, or if we do mean it, we didn't know how to communicate it in a way that is believable. Compatible, healthy relationships feature great communication skills. Someone that you trust enough and love in such a way that you are willing to talk to them, to be honest with them, but you care enough to use your tone, your body, your eyes, to put aside distractions to make sure that they get where you are. It matters to you that they get it, and when they have something to share with you, they take time to try to do it well, and you appreciate that by being a good listener. Again, this is so important because you can't really fix any other problem if you cannot communicate effectively. And I think the word problem is the key. Most couples and everybody gets along when we agree, or when the things we disagree about are so inconsequential that we just let them go. And that seems really cool, and it proves that you're perfect for each other. But the thing is, when you move forward into marriage and into your life, there are more and more things that you will not always agree on, and they usually increase in intensity and consequence. Sometimes people even have trouble communicating effectively on things they do agree on. In which case, if you're both faithful Christians, I'm sure you'll work it out, but it's not going to be a lot of fun. One of the next questions that I ask is just how important is communication in your relationship? I want them to talk through what it means to them and how they feel like they're doing it that. That's when I usually bring up the story of the Tower of Babel and how that was all God really needed to do to completely decimate a project and send people in opposite directions. I'll sometimes bring up the story in 2 Samuel 10, where a king had died among the Ammonites, and David sent some delegates to go and give his condolences, and the new king didn't read that well. He didn't take in that information well, and so instead he like cut off their clothes and shaved half their beards and sent them away in disgrace. And of course, they went back and told David, and he rallied up an army and whipped them. And that's kind of another thing about communication, the willingness to decide what words should I use, how should I package them, what am I trying to say, and on the listener's side, am I reading those signals, am I giving the benefit of the doubt, am I willing to try to understand? If we don't learn to do that well on both sides, then we may end up creating problems that didn't even exist. Boy, I could go 30 minutes telling you stories from 26 and a half years of marriage, where I said something in a way that was not what I meant at all, but to her, it landed like a ton of bricks. And I can think of other times when she tried to communicate something to me with great intent and I took it the wrong way and made a mess. I'll tell you this, I'm going to go home tonight and make some improvements from this simple class for people who are looking into marriage, and I hope it'll help you too. Question three on the list, we talk about tone. How does the tone and volume of one's voice, the sharpness of one's tone, and the countenance affect communication? We go through some great proverbs about how anger just usually ruins everything, and raising your voice and all of that just takes what could be easily solved and makes it a lot harder to solve. I'm sure you can come up with a situation to counter what I'm about to say, but I just think yelling is dumb. I think married people that raise their voice at each other, it's almost like the way we talk about people who use profanity. We say, look, profanity just means that you're not intelligent enough to communicate it in a more constructive and pure way. Well, I have to tell you, that's the way I feel about yelling. That's the way I feel about yelling at your spouse, at your kids, at anybody. Yes, we get it. It connotes to them, verbally and non-verbally, that you're really, really mad. But you're making it extremely hard for them to weed through that aggression and try to really understand what you're saying. There are exceptions to this. If my kid's in the street and a car is coming, I yell. But at least it stands out as a very weird thing Dad is doing that must mean something scary. We have to be able to disagree and it not be scary. That goes straight back to the material we taught from House Rules by Jacob Hudgens. Rule number one, home is a safe place. Every conversation needs to be a safe place. And to me, just getting mad and angry and turning your body away or staring at the television or yelling, to me it says I don't have the faith and self-control and proper spirit to do the right thing and to achieve the best results. So this is obviously really important to do the right way when someone in your life is wrong or they've done something that displeases you. But communication is a two-way street, and so I'm a little bit more interested in how you react or behave when you're the one that's made the mistake. One of our questions in the material addresses that. Have you ever said to your fiancé or spouse, I'm wrong, and should you? The most crucial moments when clear communication is needed is when you are wrong, and they need to hear it, and they need to understand it, and it needs to trigger a compassion in them that brings you closer together instead of an aggression, tones, silent treatments, and body language that just causes you to keep digging. My favorite proverb, Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. I have asked that question in pre-marriage and counseling studies. Have you ever said to your fiance or family, I'm wrong? I can't think of any case where anyone's looked at me and said, no, I don't think I've ever been willing to say that. But there have been more than a few times that the person next to them has said of them, I don't think they have. And that's what's kind of wild about communication. Maybe you have said you're sorry, maybe you haven't, but there are so many ways of saying it that you can say it and it accomplishes nothing. On the other hand, there are other things you can say with your tone and your choices and your body language that completely connote the idea of an apology, and you maybe didn't even have to say the words. All of that is communication. Look, we haven't talked about this today, but maybe you don't want a compatible relationship. Maybe you're not interested in being close to them and rebuilding. In which case, if you're dating, you need to break up today. And if you're married, then you need more Jesus and probably a good counselor. But for the rest of us, when we struggle, it's not that. We do want things to be good and we do love them. We just haven't thought enough about the way we communicate and how that is the key to unlock a lot of solutions and really get that compatibility working at its highest level. The last couple of questions have to do with conflict resolution because that's when the weaknesses shine through. Things like, do you hold grudges? Do you continually bring up the past? And should you? Sometimes when communication starts to break down or it's turning into an argument and you're losing, then you reach back into the past to try to find a weapon for that particular battle. That is a great sign of incompatibility and distance between you. If you need to look back to the past and you're willing to do it to try to counter their strike or get the upper hand. And then lastly on that sheet, and thank you for listening and helping me to brush up for the class tonight, how do you react when he or she discusses with you something about you they consider wrong or simply don't like? This is next level communication when you can sit down and have a conversation and hear something that is critical of your behavior, and yet it is shared with you in a way that makes it palatable and it is received by you with gratitude. People in the home, people in the workplace, people in the church who cannot receive criticism are destined to repeat their mistakes. But also, people who do not know how to communicate those things effectively will always feel like they're morally superior in the situation, but are actually just perpetuating the problem. Please remember your relationship with God and how He disciplines and corrects you, but He always does it in a way that fills you with hope, makes you feel loved, and makes you want to do better. I've probably told you this story before, but my wife, I used to call her a master manipulator. Somebody told me one day that that wasn't really a term of endearment, so I don't use that anymore. I've always meant it in the best possible way. But I remember once on a Saturday when she wanted me to mow the lawn, and I was watching golf or something, and I was laying on the couch, and she came over there marching right up to me, and then she knelt down beside me and put her hands on my hands and started saying something, and I blacked out, and when I woke up, I was mowing the lawn. How did she do that? I still don't know, but she does it often. Okay, so I didn't actually black out, but I don't remember the conversation. I just know I wasn't doing what she wanted, and then 5 minutes later, I was, and she shared it with me in such a way that I just sort of naturally did whatever she wanted. And that's the kind of communication that makes me better and makes me love her for it. So hey, let me say one more time, so I'm not answering emails all week. Marry a Christian. If you are married and you want to make your marriage better, become a faithful Christian. Top of the list. But right there is a very, very, very close second is just a compatible, healthy relationship. And if you want one of those, if you want to build or rebuild one of those, spend some real time thinking and evaluating the way you share information with each other. Because you can unlock a lot of potential when you acknowledge that communication is key. Thank you so much for listening in today. If you enjoyed this program, will you share it with someone you care about? One thing I've learned over the years is the best way for the program to grow is for friends to tell people how valuable it's been for them. Speaking of friends, let me once again commend you to give John Cunningham a call. He and his team have a wide variety of tools to help you use your present budget and life to build towards a more secure and hopeful financial future. Once again, you can reach him at 205-326-7364. And always remember, whatever you choose to do today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, excel still more.